There's a plan that God has for us. Jesus said, the works that I do, will you do also, and greater works, because I go to the Father. Let's pray for those greater works. Let's step into them as a people. Let's ask God, what are the greater works that you want to do through me? And how can I step into it in faith? And how do you want me to pray that those works be realized in my life? In a sense, that's kind of what we've been talking about for the last several weeks. We're in this series called Staying Connected. And most recently, we've been out of John 14 and John chapter 15, where Jesus promises these greater works, and then he says those works are produced as fruit in our life, because Jesus is the true vine, and we're the branches that stay connected to him. Pastor Jordan and Pastor Kenny, the last couple of weeks, got us into this chapter in John chapter 15. I'm going to continue where they left off in John chapter 15, and I want us to realize the context, because the context will help us understand the meaning of what Jesus is going to say to us. So the larger context, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, it's the end of Jesus' life in just a 24-hour time frame. He's going to be betrayed, crucified, and then 3 days later he's resurrected, and then he ascends to the Father. And anticipating how his followers are going to feel, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And then he begins to describe how we can be connected to God in the most intimate way in the immediate teaching of Jesus. It's his followers no longer having his physical presence with them. But Jesus is saying, this is how you can really know me and experience me and have a 24/7 moment-by-moment relationship with me. So that's what this series is all about. And in John chapter 15, Jesus says that is maintained through this abiding relationship. It's all about bearing fruit. In fact, the title of my message today is You Will Know Them by Their Fruit. Because 9 times in John 15, Jesus talks about fruit and fruitfulness. 9 times. In 12 times, Jesus says the means or the mechanism by which we bear that fruit is by abiding in Jesus. So that word abide or remain is mentioned 12 times. So we don't produce fruit, Jesus produces it through us. 9 times, fruitfulness. 12 times, abide. 29 times, Jesus refers to himself as the ultimate source for producing fruit. So if you look at this chapter, kind of step away and look at it, you come away with, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the source of the Christian life. Jesus is the one who produces fruit. Jesus is the one who works in and through our lives. What we need to do is stay connected to Jesus. We need to abide in Jesus, and then what Jesus will do is produce fruit through our lives, and then guess what? People will know us by our fruit. So what he's saying now in the passage I'm going to read to you and that we're going to unpack is some of the fruit that demonstrates we have the abiding relationship with Jesus, who is the true vine who produces the fruit. But it may not be what we expect. See, what Jesus calls us to and what Jesus wants to do in and through our lives isn't always what we anticipate. And even isn't even what we might think is the real fruitful life. Let's see how that's played out here in John chapter 15. This is what Jesus says. After talking about being the true vine, after talking about abiding in him, after talking about bearing fruit, now he says, this is the fruit by which all people are going to know that you're my disciples. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law: they hated me without reason. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This is about Jesus, the true vine. He's the source of producing all fruit. We're to remain, abide in Jesus, and then what Jesus does through our lives is he produces fruit, and they will know us by our fruit. So what's fruit? Well, we've talked about this. I'm sure Jordan and Kenny talked about it a little bit, but let me give you the most basic definition of fruit. Fruit is the outward evidence of the inner nature. The outward evidence of the inner nature. So past 3 weeks, I've spent more than two of those weeks in Haiti and India. In Haiti, they have mango trees everywhere. And you know how I know they're mango trees? They got mangoes hanging on them. That's a mango? That must be a mango tree. Because fruit is the outward evidence of the inner nature. Inner nature of the tree's mango. What does it produce? Mangoes. In India, they got banana trees everywhere. These little tiny bananas. That's a banana tree. You know how I know it's a banana tree? It has bananas hanging on it. Inner nature of the tree's banana. What does it produce? Bananas. We've come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. That, you know, we talk about it here all the time at Crossline. There's like a line in the sand. It's the line of sin. God's on this side. He's perfect. He's holy. He's loving. We're on this side. We are weak. We're inadequate. We're disconnected. We're sinful. But when we cross the line, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, we actually come into a relationship with God. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. So what's our inner nature? Christ. What's fruit? Anything that represents Christ. Words, attitudes, behaviors that point back to Jesus. So what Jesus is saying is he's the true vine, we're branches, we abide in him, he produces fruit. He thinks through our mind, he loves through our hearts, he lives out through our bodies, he changes our perspective, our worldview, our acts of service. We live a new kind of life, and it points back to Jesus. And then now he's saying here in this latter section of John 15, here's some of the ways that fruit gets expressed in your life because you're in this abiding relationship with me and I'm in you and I'm producing fruit through your life. And by the way, they will know you by your fruit. So what does he say? Here's a first example of fruit. While we're in the world, Jesus has chosen us out of the world. We're in the world, but Jesus chose us out of the world. You know, Paul says over in Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we're going to spend eternity. So we were, prior to coming into a relationship with God, we are on this side of the line, which Ephesians 2:1 says we were dead in sin. Our citizenship is in heaven, so we're going to live forever in heaven, but hey, are we in heaven right now? No, we're still in the world. But what has Jesus done? He's chosen us out of the world. Have you ever felt, now I don't need to show hands at this, but have you ever felt out of place? Like, gosh, people think in a weird way, the news and the opinions of people or the value systems of people, those aren't my values, that's not the way I see life anymore. I have a kind of different perspective. I don't even know if I feel comfortable in my own skin. You know what? That's because we were created for heaven, and we're going to heaven, but we're not there yet. We're still in this world, but guess what? We're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world because Jesus has chosen us out of the world. Now, some people misinterpret that, and they think, well, what that means is I need to be against the world. No, Jesus hasn't chosen us to be against the world. Nor has Jesus chosen us to be for the world. Jesus has chosen us out of the world. In other words, we're to be distinct from the world. See, John later in his letter, 1 John, he kind of defines what he's talking about when he says the world. It's not just this life, it's the value system of this life. It's the culture of this life. It's the worldview of this life. And he says in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world nor the things in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, it's from the world, and the world's passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. So we're not in the world, we're not to be for the world, but we're not to be against it either. I don't want to be a person who's defined by what I'm against. I want to be defined by what I'm for. So Jesus has chosen us out of the world, meaning we are to be distinct from the world. So part of the fruit of our lives that we're following Jesus Christ is we're different. And some of you are very different, because I know you. You're very different. But we are to be distinct. One of the metaphors that John uses for this, that Jesus uses a lot, and the gospel writers and writers of the New Testament use a lot, is being light. See, the world's dark, but we're to be light. So, like Ephesians 5 says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Philippians 2 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked generation, and then you will shine like stars in the sky. Matthew 5 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So the real issue is identity. See, this is no longer identity. This side of the line, this is no longer identity. Our identity is not the world. Our identity is in Christ, because we've been chosen out of the world, not to be against it, not to be for it, but to be different from it. Just like light is different from darkness. Are you getting this? See, God is saying, you're different. You've been chosen to be different. So shine your light. But see, if people don't see any difference, they don't see any fruit. And if they don't see any fruit, they don't see Jesus. But if they see our difference, then they see fruit. And if they see fruit, they see the one who produces the fruit. They see Jesus. God doesn't want us to be against the world. He doesn't want us to be for the world. He wants us to be distinct, because he's chosen us out of the world. And as we abide in Jesus, he produces his fruit through our lives. And we will live distinct from the world, and our light will shine, and people will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. See, it's like if I had a lamp up here, a desk lamp. I'm holding it. It's not plugged in. It's not turned on. If I tried to, you know, flip the switch here and turn it on, would any light come out? No. If I plugged it in but didn't flip the switch to turn it on, would any light come out? No. But if I, there's a little plug up here you can't see, but if I plugged it in right here and flip the switch, then the light would come on. See, this is what Jesus has done. We're like lamps that are not plugged in with no light. But when we cross the line into faith in Jesus Christ, we get plugged into Jesus, but we still have to turn the switch. So for some of us here, we have yet to get plugged into Jesus. We are still here in the world. We haven't yet been chosen out of the world. We got to take that step of faith into Jesus Christ. We get chosen out of the world. The light of Jesus comes into us. Now we got to let our light shine. Some of us, we've taken that step. We have been chosen out of the world, but we're not letting our light shine because we're not abiding in Jesus. So then we got to turn the switch on. We got to abide in Jesus so his light shines out of our lives, and the world looks at us and they see Jesus. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's chosen us out of the world. We're to be distinct and shine the light of Christ so that people might see Christ in us. Here's the second thing that Jesus says about this fruit that gets born out from this abiding relationship with him. And they'll know you by your fruit. Jesus says, just like I'm the vine and you're the branch, I'm the master and you're my servant. I'm the master and you're my servant. Therefore, people are going to respond to you that the way they respond to me. They're going to respond to you the way they respond to me because they see me in you. And why do they see Jesus in us? Because what's fruit? It's the outward evidence of the inner nature. The inner nature of the believer is Jesus. If I'm abiding in Jesus, he's producing fruit through my life. The fruit, they see the fruit, and then they're seeing the fruit producer, Jesus. He says, I'm the master and you're the servant. So if they reject the master, they're also going to reject the servant. If they love the master, they're also going to love the servant. See, he says, you need to know what you've signed up for. Because, I mean, let's just step away. Before we personalize it to ourselves, just thinking about it in terms of Jesus. Did everybody just love Jesus? Did everybody just think, oh, man, Jesus is awesome. Jesus is great. I want to hang out with Jesus. I want to obey the teachings of Jesus. I want Jesus to be my best friend. I want Jesus to be in my home. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Did everybody in the Gospels that Jesus ever spoke to or ever dealt with just go, man, you're the man, Jesus, and I want to hang out with you? Is that the Gospel you read? No. Now, on the other hand, did everybody reject Jesus? Did nobody want to listen to him? Nobody want to follow him? Nobody want to obey him? Is that the Gospel? No. See, some people were drawn to Jesus, some people rejected Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm the master and you're the servant. If they hated me, they will also hate you. But if they love me, they will also love you. This is what Jesus has called us to. Because see, this is so important because it frees us from trying to get everybody to like us. Now, I should have a mirror up here when I'm saying this. And those of you who know me really well, like Pastor Greg, who's laughing right now, he knows I want people to like me, don't I, Greg? And it's one of my struggles. It really is. I want people to like me. In fact, I think you should like me, because I like me. And I think sometimes if I could just hang out with you long enough, I'd get you to like me. But not everybody likes me. No, there's nobody that everybody likes. And Jesus is saying, if you think that being my follower is just getting people to like you, being such a nice person that people will like you. Jesus isn't nice. As Pastor Kenny would tell us, Jesus is dangerous. See, Jesus says, if you're going to abide in me, I'm going to produce my fruit through your life, and people are going to see my fruit, and they're going to see me. And those who reject me are going to reject you, and those who love me are going to love you. That's the fruit of our lives. Peter said it this way over in 1 Peter 2. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles in this world, to abstain from selfish desires because they wage war in your soul. Live such good lives among the world that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they actually see your good deeds and they glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus chose us out of the world. If we abide in him, he shines his light in us and through us. We shine the light of Christ. And some people see that light and they're drawn to it, and some people want nothing to do with it. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus. 29 times in John 15, I, me, my. Jesus is the source of authentic spiritual life. He's the one who produces fruit. If we abide in Jesus, he's going to produce fruit through his life. And the fruit of it, of Jesus in our life is pointing people to Jesus. And he's chosen us out of the world, not to be against the world, not to be forward the world, but to be different from the world, so that our light shines in the world, and then the world sees us, and we're servants of the master, and those who love the master are drawn to us, but those who hate the master, guess what? They're going to hate us. So don't be a victim of trying to get everybody to like you all the time. On the other hand, to the other kind of personality types we have among us, don't be a jerk for Jesus. Don't be ticking everybody off and saying, well, that's because I'm following Jesus and I hated Jesus, they're going to hate me. No, it's because you're a jerk. I guess the point is, whether you're trying to get people to like you, or you're trying to bug people, you should be looking at Jesus. Loving Jesus, abiding in Jesus, because he's the true vine and he's the master. We're branches and we're servants. We're not of the world. We've been chosen out of the world. We are to shine our light. We're to be different, and we're to follow our master, and knowing that when we follow our master, the way they treated Jesus, that's the way they'll treat us. Having just come back from two awesome experiences in living this out, I saw it both ways. So when I was in Haiti, one of the great experiences, I saw a picture up on the screen that kind of just resonated with me. There's a place we go to all the time. It's this artisan colony where these guys take kind of scrap metal and they make art out of it. We started going there years ago. There's a bench sitting there. And I saw some guys sitting at the bench, and I shared the gospel with these guys, and many of them received Christ. So we came back, and same thing, and we started calling it the church at the bench. So we drive up, I get out of the van, and there's guys around, my pastor, they know about the church at the bench. So we have these great relationships with guys that many of us have seen over the years and poured our lives into. So once again, in this trip to Haiti, we come back and we're there at this artisan district, and I walk over to that bench, and there's two guys sitting on the bench that I don't know. I have not talked to those guys. So I said, walked up and had my translator, and I said, you're in my church. And they said, well, what? I said, this is the church of the bench. They go, what are you talking about? So I tell them the story of the church of the bench, and they laugh. And I said, but since you're in my church, you have to hear the word of God. So I start sharing the gospel with them. And a few more guys come, and then a group of guys are there. Share the gospel, give an invitation to receive Christ, and by the grace of God, several of them pray to receive Christ. It's awesome. But remember, it's not about me. It's about the master. Because there was also a group of guys that were just like this. And when we bowed our heads to pray, they didn't bow their heads to pray. They were just like looking around. Because in that group, there were some drawn to Jesus and some rejecting Jesus. So there were some drawn to me and some rejecting me. I go to India, and I'm in India. We serve with this great ministry there, Harvest India. We're in the southern province of India, and they're showing us some of their ministry. We go to one of this, it's like some of the poorest area, and it's the red light district where all the prostitutes are. And it's just the conditions are unbelievable. They have open sewers going down into the river where all the waste goes right into the river, and in the river are women washing their clothes and drinking the water out of the river. Children running around, and the temple to the god of death in India, and all of these demonic symbols painted out everywhere. And we gathered these women together, we gave them food, we fed them. This ministry, Harvest India, rescues women and provides food and medical care, and I shared the gospel of Jesus with these women, with my translator. And in that gathering of women, there were quite a few of them that said yes to Jesus Christ and yes to freedom. In that same gathering of women, though, being offered the hope of salvation in Christ and being offered the chance of freedom from their sex slavery, said, no, this is the life I'm choosing and this is where I'm staying. It wasn't about me. It wasn't how effective a communicator I was or what spiritual gifts I had. It was about Jesus, you see. And some reject Jesus and some say yes to Jesus. Some are drawn to Jesus and some don't want anything to do with Jesus. And some want to persecute Jesus. And Jesus is preparing his followers saying, listen, let me tell you the way it really is. It's not a bait and switch thing because it's not about you. It's about me. I'm the true vine and you're the branches. I'm the master and you're the servant. What I've done is I've chosen you out of the world so that your light can shine to the world. And as they responded to me, they're going to respond to you because you are my servants. This is an issue of identity. Do we see ourselves as branches in the vine? Do we see ourselves as servants of the master? If we do, then we will abide in Christ and we will follow our master and we will do so and leave the results with God. And leave the results with God. Because they will know us by our fruit. They will know us by our fruit. So Jesus says, there's one more thing here that I want you to understand. Because this is supernatural. It's supernatural. I spoke in India at this pastor's conference for 3 days as part of the time that I was there. And I spoke on our supernatural identity so that we might have a supernatural experience so that we might fulfill our supernatural calling. That's not just for pastors in India, by the way. That's for every believer in Jesus Christ. We have a supernatural identity, so we can have a supernatural experience, so we can fulfill our supernatural calling. That's what Jesus is saying here in John 15. You got this supernatural identity. You're a branch, and I'm the vine. You're a servant, and I'm the master, and I want to produce fruit through your life so you can fulfill your calling. And the only way that can happen, Jesus says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. It is the Holy Spirit who will use us to testify about Jesus. I suppose if you were to step away from this passage and look at the big picture of John 14, 15, 16, and 17, and then see it in the larger context of the Gospels and the teaching of Jesus, and then even in the larger context of the New Testament, and then even in the larger context of the whole Bible, this is the radical supernatural revelation. God in me, the Holy Spirit in me. Not just me trying to follow rules and laws, or not just me changing my theological paradigm, or not just me trying to live a morally different kind of life. No, me being a totally new person because the Holy Spirit has come to live in my life. And that's what Jesus is promising his followers. They knew of it, they tasted of it, but they hadn't yet experienced it. But on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and every believer in Jesus Christ since the day of Pentecost, the very moment they crossed that line into new life with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the Spirit of truth actually comes into their lives. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you now. And if you're here as someone who's yet to make that decision, that's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to come into your life. I'm not just going to be with you. I'm going to be in you. I'm going to be in you. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the true vine and you're the branches. I'm the master and you're the servant. I've chosen you out of the world, not to be against it and not to be for it, to be different from it so that your light shines. And that you live as a servant, and I'm your master. And people see your fruit, and they respond to you the way they respond to me. And this is supernatural. So I'm not going to leave you on your own to try to figure it out and do it. I'm going to send the advocate, the parakletos in Greek, the one who's called alongside to be and to do in you what you can't do on your own. And he's going to bear witness of me, and you're going to bear witness. See, the Holy Spirit came to bear witness of Jesus. We're going to see this next week when we look in John chapter 16, when Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will take of mine and he'll bring to remembrance to you. He'll glorify me in you. Jesus it said over in Romans chapter 8, we haven't received the spirit of the world that would lead us to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, spirit of sonship that cries, Abba, Father. God's spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, no one knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which lives in him. Even so, we have received the spirit who knows the thoughts of God so that we might know all the things God has given to us. The Holy Spirit bears witness, testifies. The Greek word is martyreo. It's related to the word martyr. We think of a martyr, someone who suffers for a cause or dies for a cause, but we get that word going back to the New Testament times, the first followers of Jesus, they testified. The word martyreo actually means to bear witness. They bear witness by their lives and their words of the reality of Jesus Christ. They were persecuted for it, and many of them actually died for it. So they died for their bearing of witness, martyreo, so they were known as martyrs. But every Christian is a martyr, not to be punished or suffer or persecuted, but to bear witness. Because the Holy Spirit has come to bear witness, and then Jesus says, you will bear witness. But I can only bear witness as the one who has been sent to bear witness is in control of my life. Does that make sense? So, I mean, it's this perfect relationship that Jesus says is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father sending the Son and the Father sending the Spirit. Us knowing the Father because we know the Son, and we know the Father and we know the Son because the Spirit reveals the Son and the Father to us. And now we have the Spirit in us, and because we have the Spirit in us, we bear witness to others of the reality of the Son. So people look at our lives, they see the fruit of our lives, and they see the one who produces the fruit, Jesus. We're bearing witness. And that is exactly what Jesus said would happen in one of his very final words after his resurrection. The Great Commission. Five times the Great Commission is mentioned. You know, Matthew, go and make disciples. Mark, go preach the gospel of all creation. Luke, this gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins is going to be proclaimed in all the nations. John, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Acts 1, right before Jesus actually is ascended into heaven, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. India, Haiti, and South Orange County. And everywhere else. We will bear witness because the one who has been sent to bear witness, the Holy Spirit, empowers us to bear witness. And a witness is just someone who shares with others what they've seen and experienced. So when you just share with someone what you've seen and experienced about Jesus, you're bearing witness. What enables you to share what you've seen and experienced is the Holy Spirit. What produces the experience is the Holy Spirit. And what is the experience that he produces? The fruit of you abiding in Jesus, who is the true vine. And as you abide in him, he produces his fruit. Part of that fruit is that you've been chosen out of the world, not to be against the world, not to be for the world, but to be distinct from the world, so you can shine your light to the world, and they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, because you're a servant and he's the master. And if they reject him, they reject you. If they love him, they'll love you. And the only way that can happen is the Holy Spirit in you bearing witness. That's what Jesus is saying in John chapter 15. You know, it's so interesting, the transferability of God's word. Because God's word is written for everybody. And truth is transferable. So I'm in India, and I'm speaking at this pastor's conference. I have a translator, different culture, different religious background, different worldview. I'm teaching God's word. And at the end of the pastor's conference, the pastors came up and shared kind of what they learned. So many of them, there were 1,500 of them there. So this guy, these people were coming up and sharing. One of the things that they shared, and I just kind of laughed to myself, because they shared, you know, we really appreciated God's word. And then they said, this was a consistent theme. I've appreciated that you use so many examples and illustrations that would help us understand the scriptures. And so I, talking with the Suresh, who's the leader of this ministry, Harvest Industry, I said, you know, ask him, what are some of the examples? So one of the examples, as I said a lot, that they really appreciated, that helped them understand, was something I don't know if you've ever heard of, but it's about, you take two glasses of milk and you put chocolate syrup in each glass of milk, and you look at it, that just looks like milk. And you taste it, it just tastes like milk. But if you take a spoon and you stir up the chocolate, it looks like chocolate milk, and when you taste it, it tastes like chocolate milk. Because I use that illustration like I have so many times here to describe what happens when we receive Jesus into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, but just because we have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean He has us. Because to be filled with the Spirit is to have the Spirit stirred up in our lives so that He bears witness of Jesus, so that people see the fruit of our lives and they see Jesus, and we are bearing witness of Jesus. John 15 is saying, I'm the true vine, I'm the only one who can produce fruit in your life. I've come to produce fruit in your life. You got to abide in me. If you abide in me, I'm going to produce fruit in your life. And the fruit in your life is such that I've chosen you out of the world. You're not in the world to live in the world. You're in the world as one who is out of the world. Not to be against it, not to be for it, to be different from it. And I'm the master and you're the servant. And people are going to see me in you. And those who are rejecting me are rejecting you, but those who are loving me are loving you. But that's supernatural. For your fruit to be of such that your light shines that way. So I'm sending the Holy Spirit, not just to be with you, but to be in you, so that you'll bear witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they'll know you by your fruit. This morning, as I prayed over our church and I prayed for you all, it really strikes me, if we're to reduce it to its most simple form, there's two types of people here this morning. Those on this side of the line and those on this side of the line. Those who've never yet taking that step of faith to receive Christ, to be forgiven of their sins, to actually know God so He sends His Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And you know the hope of heaven. And if that's you, today, let this be the day that you cross the line and say yes to Jesus Christ. Then there are those of us, we're on this side of the line. We're branches. But are we abiding? We're servants, but are we following a master? We're light, but is our light shining? That can only happen as we surrender to the Holy Spirit, not just today, but tomorrow and the next day, and moment by moment, asking God to bear witness through our lives as we follow Jesus. Take the next step. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, say yes to God and take the next step. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray that you'd be glorified from your word and in our lives, in our church. I just thank you for every person here. Thank you for who they are. Thank you that you see them. Boy, that's just something I've just been thinking and just realizing, gosh, of all the bazillion people in the world, you see every one of us. You see us as individuals. You see us right now. You know what's going on in our thoughts and our emotions, our struggles, and you love us. Speak that to every person right now. So I pray for anybody who's never crossed the line. They've never said yes to Jesus and invited you to forgive their sins and be their Savior. And that's you. You know I'm speaking to you. God knows. He loves you. Say yes to Jesus. Just right now. Just out loud or in your heart. Just agree with me. Say, Yes, Jesus. I receive you into my life. Forgive my sins. Live in me. Make me your servant. If you're praying that prayer right now, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up in the air so that I can see that you're asking God to do it. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. I pray for every one of these dear people that they know you heard their cry. They know that you love them. They know that they've just entered into new life and that you've sent your Spirit to live into their hearts. And Jesus, you've forgiven them. They belong to you and you'll never let them go, ever. Give them that hope and that faith, that certainty. Jesus, I pray for those of us who have received you. We know you're in our life. We're branches. Jesus, speak to us so that we would stop living disconnected from you. And if that's you, just make this your prayer. Agree with me. Say, Jesus, I want to abide in you. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to live in me. Holy Spirit, take control of my life. Produce the fruit of Jesus in me today, tomorrow, for the rest of my life. God, I pray for every believer here that they might be filled with the Holy Spirit. They might abide in Jesus Christ. They might bear the fruit of Jesus in their life. They might walk with you and shine your light. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.